Hey guys, it's Tippett Show, and we have an amazing show for you guys. John and I just finished our episode with Hollywood insider Melody Krell, and if this interview doesn't get us kicked off YouTube, then I don't know what will. We got into the Fasur family, the Kazarians, Royal Bloodlines, Depository Trust Company, Seed & Co., Virginia Company, the Act of 1871, J.P. Morgan, the UN, the Fed, the Council on Foreign Relations, Rhodes Scholarships, and that's just, you know, just the tip of the iceberg, what we talked about. But with that said, if you are watching this on World Alternative Media, just please note that not everything that John and I put out makes it on WAM. So I encourage you guys to check out my YouTube channel. And please note that these are also all available in audio format, as well as, you know, what I would do is search out the Liberty Advisor Show or my name, Tippett Show, and you'll be able to find it. And everything I put out there, you know, please make sure that you're at least subscribed to one of our backup channels, whether it's Library, which is, you know, sort of being rebranded now as Odyssey, that's a longer story, or Float.app, both of them, I'm /@TheLibertyAdvisor. But anyways, thank you for watching. Hope you enjoy the show. And I know that you guys are going to love, absolutely love this one. Hope you enjoy. Take care. Everyone, welcome to another Tim and John show. Today, we have a real treat for you. And don't hold it against her, but she is a former Hollywood actress. Also, don't hold it against her that she lives in New York and formerly lived in LA, because I also used to live in New York. But we do have Melody Krell today with us, and she's going to, you know, talk all about the, you know, the powers behind the real powers, and you know, everything to do, you know, with the financial system. We're really looking forward to this. But also, you know, before we get going, I want to let people know that we're not going to be on YouTube forever. You can't, you know, just bank on this, you know, information always being available. I mean, at this stage of the game, you know, I can't believe we still need to say this stuff, but, you know, I would encourage people to go over to library.tv, LBRY.tv, although they are doing a rebrand. So it's kind of confusing, but Library was only meant to be a repository of information, and Odyssey now is their video player. So they both bring to the exact same place. And so if you are a YouTube content creator, it just automatically backs everything up. And so highly recommend you guys check that out. We'll have links down below. And then float.app/@TheLibertyAdvisor would be the other one. So both of them are at the Liberty Advisor. And then hopefully this weekend we have launching the LibertyAdvisorShow.com, which will have all the different media properties that we have. And then on the business side of things, if you guys would like to become a client and see how, when the market crashed in March and our clients basically lost hardly any money at all, and we made almost all the gains last year, if you'd like to figure out more about how we did that, you can go to thelibertyadvisor.com. And for all John's stuff, you can find him at theeconomictruth.org for all of his economic consulting and best-selling books that he has right behind him. And you know, definitely encourage you guys to check that out as well. Now, the last thing is, we have the Red Pill Expo coming up. That's redpillexpo.org. Unfortunately, John is stuck in Kanakistan, Canada, over there, and cannot make it down because he'd be in, you know, on a quarantine coming back in. But I will be there, and you know, at this stage of the game, it might be a little bit too late to plan on being down there, but you can stream that, and you can find all that information at redpillexpo.org, and then we have a promo code, the Liberty Advisor, to then save you guys a little bit of money on that. But now, without any further ado, we want to get to our guest, Melody Krell. I first heard about her on the Tinfoil Hat podcast with Sam Tripoli, and then my good friend, our good friend, Ernest Hancock, you know, interviewed you, and then also, I think Dr. Frank was on that episode as well.
Yeah.
And you're dropping a lot of bombs in terms of, you know, who's, you know, really running the show, who really runs America, who's running the world. Well, I guess now the World Health Organization.
They're pawns. Yeah.
But I'd like to know, like, just kind of let people know, like, how you started getting into all this stuff. Like, how does a former Hollywood actress find herself in the
spot? Well, I'm still a writer and producer. Just nobody will hire me. Okay. Just kidding. Basically, I actually started out in journalism. I went to actually undergrad at NYU for journalism, and I worked at MTV News in the beginning, and I worked at CNN. Now I look back, I'm horrified. But this was in the 90s, before the big purge of humanity. But then I worked at Good Morning America all over, and then I got more into film. I went back for film, and then I ended up in Hollywood. But I always my thing's always been historical research. Like everything I've written, as much as, you know, everything I've written a bunch of screenplays. It's always like 6-7 months of research. I love research. So when, and my dad was in the Coast Guard for 20 years. My brother-in-law is right now overseas. He's been in the Army for, this is his 29th year. And he's been overseas for like 10 months and went through the COVID overseas. They had a different mission they went to the Middle East for, and then it became COVID. And so, you know, just from, and my parents live in Palm Beach, and I worked when I was in college at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, wow.
I know a lot of, and then I worked in Hollywood with a lot of people. And then when I learned about Q in 2017, I guess we're not allowed to say that anymore, but hey, it's just a board. It's just a board. It's not a, you know, it's so crazy what they're doing with it. But anyway, so I, you know, I like puzzles and I like research and I recognized a lot of stuff and I followed the dots on my own time. You know, I'm not even making money on this now. You know, this has never been a money thing for me. But then I also, a couple years ago, I had something happen where I just really started like reading the Bible and everything again. Like I feel like, but for the grace of God, go I every single day. For the last 20 years. So then it was all making sense. And I drove cross country and took my time about a year and a half ago. And I just really was putting together, I just spent a lot of time alone thinking about everything. And that's when I started getting involved in talking about it, because people, our history was erased. And I studied a lot when I was younger about, I love this woman, Hannah Arendt. She wrote The Origins of Totalitarianism. And I fell in love with her at 19. That's how crazy that is. And she wrote Eichmann in Jerusalem, the banality of evil that people don't understand. And through the Q drops and all my own research, I realized that the banality of evil is what we're living in since they stole our country in 1871. And you're going to the scene of the crime, Jekyll Island, this weekend. And I just became really obsessed with like, what is going on here? How did this happen? And why did this happen? And then as time's gone on, I just dig deeper and deeper. I really love the research, but the crazy part is, now 2.5 years in, looking from, you know, 40,000 feet, 50,000 feet, whatever, I see so clearly the last 100 years of what they are hoping will happen for them now, meaning the bloodline families that are real, you know, the federal bankers, the cabal, basically, the UN, and we have been totally lied to for a very long time. And I believe in my heart that COVID was their, you know, their plan. They planned this, and had Hillary Clinton won, it's just really scary when you put together all the pieces. So that's why I finally was like, I get this. I want to talk about it. I mean, look, the Fed is a private bank owned by the same people who've been running the world for so long, and they have $2 trillion. And there's poor people on this planet. There's people starving and sick.
Well, they have seven. They have 7 trillion.
Yeah, 7 trillion.
No, I know. Because remember that thing? Well, you guys are money guys. Those SARs that came out that show that like Deutsche Bank and HSBC and all of them have been laundering money for these sickos for all this time, and that money is ours. You know. And then, yeah, and then it stopped me whenever, because I really like, no, not that many people can talk about this, because I think people have just, not just because our dumbed down society, Common Core, all that, I mean, all three of us have been around the same age. I just feel like if you didn't go to college or school in the 90s or earlier, you're like, you don't really know anything about, unless you seek out the knowledge, you don't really know. So first I got, I really started looking into the UN and its origins, and then, you know, then you just connect the names, and they're all the same people. And so now I want people to know that the Fed is a private bank. Our taxes go to them, not to our government, not to our problems, not anywhere. They go to the Fed, and then the Fed pays us, and 20% of that has been going to the monarchy in England for all this time. And
so the Fed actually gets to keep 6% of all the interest, of all the dividends, of all the debt, and it was on their website, but they spin it as we give back 94% of the profit. And right. So I actually had a congressman out here in Arizona who was, you know, on the having a hearing with Janet Yellen 3 years ago, and I asked her a question. I'm like, what happens when the Fed actually starts losing money? Are you guys, because eventually, you know, if you say the interest rates are going to go up, which I was saying it's not, but like if the rates were going to go up, then the underlying bond portfolios would absolutely crater in value. You'd lose billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions. Are you going to then send the Treasury a bill? And then she said that my scenario was mathematically impossible. I'm like, listen, like a alien attack tomorrow is technically possible, let alone especially right. this year. But and then you see, you know, a few months ago when the Fed, when all the pandemic was in kicking in high gear, a lot of people say that Trump took over the Fed and nationalized it. And, you know, that definitely didn't happen. But unfortunately, but, you know, what did happen is if you read the press release, it says the Treasury is now in a first loss position, meaning that if there's losses, that the Treasury absorbs it, which was exactly my fucking question 3 years ago that she said I was basically insane. And it was a real ball buster. I mean, that was just like the cliff notes of it. It was a real ball buster question. And this was probably the only congressman at the time smart enough, maybe I probably wanted two congressmen at the time smart enough to understand it. And right. they happened to pick my question. And I was listening to another person's podcast and he's like, yeah, really boring day, except for this one question that snuck through. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, it was my question that snuck through to Janet Yellen. But now we see this, but most people don't even realize that, you know, the Fed is a private bank. And that's what woke me up. I was in the class that won the national competition on the Fed against Harvard, Yale, and MIT. And then one day this guy that looks like Rob Zombie is telling me the Fed's private. And I'm like, oh, come on, man, you're full of shit. Like,
people say it right now today. It's amazing. And I'm in New York around the corner from a lot of bankers that have no idea. They don't know. These broker dealers don't even know. They don't know about any of it. And that's why, like me, just coming from my background and being like, I'm not a money person, but the more you dig into it, the more it's such a conspiracy and such a lie. And this is how all the congressmen and senators and politicians and this is how they're so rich, because they're liars.
So for me, I mean, like this issue wasn't brought up at the any of the debates, and I worked super hard, you know, and kind of embarrassed to say a little bit, but you know, in 2016, I went all out the last 3 months of the election for Donald Trump and was reaching millions of people from a standstill, and actually can kind of claim to have the first fake news list, throwing it back at liberals 2.5 months before Trump ever used that. And then the very next day, I got completely shadow banned where no one could basically see content. And because I thought if Hillary got elected, it'd be, you know, World War III. Positioning everything towards, you know, having a war with Russia. And so for me, I really just wanted to stop that. And I was like, you know what, in 2012, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton are both not there. I was pushing for Ron Paul in 2012, obviously. And then, you know, I pushed really hard, but then Trump gets in there and he picks Jerome Powell, who's a big swamp creature, as the Fed chair. Mm-hmm. Then he picks,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I know what you're saying. But also, I also think that there's more behind the scenes than people know. And I think he picked a lot of these people knowing what was going to be coming down.
Well, I think the bigger point is that we basically had a 2 year period to be able to get things through and to really, you know, not that I was holding my breath anyways, that he would actually, you know, I mean, he's definitely far exceeded my expectations compared to every other president. And, you know, it's really kind of a low bar to clear over there with that, with, you know, Obama and all the Bushes my entire life. So, yeah, I think I was like, maybe like one or two when Reagan was in there. So basically it none of this at this point, I think, like, it basically doesn't matter. And and I'm trying to educate people at the Fed and what's going to happen next after this. And, but anyways, I don't want to waste too much more of your time on, you know, talking about Trump and Q and the Fed. Cause you know, we did that with you've got big shoes to fill. Cause 2 guests ago we had G.O. Griffin. And so we went really deep.
So where are we now? Well, I have one thing I want to ask you guys about. I read about just now. You both know this. So it appears that Deutsche Bank is about to go under really big. And does that sink the EU? I just saw this whole, did you guys see the whole report about Deutsche Bank and HSBC recently?
Has done probably 100 videos on Deutsche Bank. So
Deutsche Bank. Yeah, Deutsche Bank has been a bad book of bad ideas ever since, 2008. And of course, it's been the derivatives arm of JP Morgan. So they funnel derivatives in Europe through Deutsche Bank, through JP Morgan owning kind of that part. And of course, Deutsche Bank, like if you go and look, there's a list from the FSB, which is not the secret police in the in Russia, but it's actually the Financial Stability Board, which runs all the central banks now. And they have a list that they issue, which is called G-SIBs, which is Global Systemically Important Banks. As of November 2011, they're going to come out now in November with a new one. But as of that time, actually, like for, in 2018, Deutsche Bank was number three most important bank in the world. They've been demoted. So like what has happened is they have a list where they have tiers, and JP Morgan is the bank that controls everything right now. And then you got Citigroup and HSBCs right under there in tier three. And then under there, again, you have Bank of America, Bank of China, Barclays, BNP Paribas, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs. And then the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, Mitsubishi in Japan, and then Wells Fargo. But what you're seeing is that Deutsche Bank has, you know, $43 trillion of bad assets, bad derivative assets on their book. If you go and look at their consolidated financial statements, so you actually see that they have a serious issue, and they haven't been able to get rid of them. You know, I was looking for a couple of years now, been looking at their statements, and they're still, they have those derivatives on their book. They can't get rid of them. They're trying to constantly, you know, get rid of people. They tried to merge with Commerce Bank, the second biggest bank, and then that didn't work. Of course, like I also looked at something called the cash to deposit ratios for banks. And of course, that's been diluted now lately with them including into the M0. They've been including all these reserves, fake digit, electronic digits that they get when they actually, you know, bail them out with all this mortgage-backed securities and stuff. They sit on the reserve bank, reserve accounts at the Federal Reserve. So that money is like their cash to deposit rates. They have so little cash that that's why they want to remove cash completely. They can't.
Exactly.
And of course, they in after the 2008 crisis, they just went full communist, basically. And what they wanted to do, there's a book out there that I don't know if you heard about it at all. It's called Redesigning the Global Financial Infrastructure, The Return of State Authority. And it's by a guy called Stuart P. McIntosh, which is the head, he's the executive director of a nonprofit called the G30 Group, which is the think tank of all the major central bankers, all the chairs of all the big banks, and people that are in accounting and also in the World Bank and IMF and so on. So it's a think tank that's on the side that was created by the Bank of International Settlements back in 2008. I've done a lot of interesting research. I know that you're talking about the U.S.
It all goes
US
back.
Family. Yeah, but there is, you know, of course, the yeah, because in Europe, of course. I'm a Norwegian. I come from Europe, so I do a lot of research into Europe and their banking systems and so on. And of course, there you have two big like owners in Europe, which is the Norm Meyer Rothschilds and Sons. That you know, that was the old company that actually owns then RTC, which is Rothschild's company. And they actually owns, you know, they own one of the biggest miners in the world, that is a Canadian company, which is called Rio Tinto. So they own like so much, they have so much control in the mining industry, and they focus on the commodity sector, really. That is their main focus. Like they work in, you know, in mining, lead, zinc, and coal. And not so much in copper, actually. They don't have any copper companies. Like, I actually have, like, there's tons of books that I try to get through here that you probably love. They're on Amazon, some of them. And then, of course, I'm reading right now. I started to read it because I wanted to be prepared to talk to you. It's called the Edmund Rothschild's Gilt-Edged Life. And it's his memoirs where he talks about how it became a... you know, a junior, I'm reading through like the junior partner a bit now, but he actually traveled to the US and then met with all these bankers over in the US to try to have some intermediaries over in the US, because they were, the Rothschilds were a royalty family. So they dealt with all the royals around the world. They dealt with financing their project and everywhere. So they wanted to, when they tried to get away from, the U.S. tried to get away from England, of course, they wanted to have some foothold there. So they had Beringer Bank and, of course, now the Morgan House, they met there. They also have the chief investment officer at Wells Fargo currently is a Rothschild. So they've implanted themselves with, you know, their little minions everywhere in the banking system. You could just do a quick search on LinkedIn and you'll find all these Rothschilds that are connected, you know, and that are working in the banking system. Now, of course, in Europe, you have the big
one.
And
it wasn't even their real name. Their real name was Bauer, and then they had a red shield in their door. Red
exactly.
Shield.
Exactly. That's my favorite stuff.
Yeah, and actually, there's also a family tree in here. There's lots of Bauers in there before it became Rothschild. So, yeah, no, you're totally right. And it's very interesting to see how this all merged. They actually had a whole bunch of goldsmiths, which is the goldsmiths, you know, the time in Europe as well, into their family. So they're very well connected. Actually, one thing that I read, Tim, and I don't know if you were aware of this, the London Bullion Fix was actually made in Rothschild's office until 2004, the Rothschilds and Co.
Actually, we did a show on that recently. I forgot who I did it with, but I think Josh and I, like, just like maybe a month ago, were breaking that down. We're talking about the gold fix. I'm like, oh, there it is. Even on Wikipedia, we'll say that, you know, up until a few years ago, it was done in like their offices.
Yeah. And then,
right outside of, you know, Center City, London, which even the royal family, their real last name is at Windsor. It's like Saxe Coburg Gotha. I mean, so everything is just a lie.
But also, the city of London is not London. And the city of London is basically a Rothschild bank.
Oh, yeah, that's where they have it. Yeah, that's where they have their stronghold.
CNBC is basically a Rothschild bank. And same with the Vatican is basically a Rothschild bank.
Actually, you know, like, I got to interrupt you there. No, it's called the Corporation of the City of London. That's actually how Rothschild talked about it.
I know.
It's so hilarious. Like, well, it's actually these corporations.
The about them is they don't hide it. They say exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
You just, it's so clear that it's not clear. But what you're talking about is there's a lot of debate about the Pesor family. What is it? Is it real? Is it a hoax? No, it's not, I don't think. I mean, this is my own opinion. I've done tons of research on the whole thing. But I will say this, like we're all saying, Pesor was paymaster. It's a made up last name too.
Pesor,
you know what I mean? So anyone who's arguing about this is missing the point. It doesn't matter what you're saying. What we're saying is it's the royal families that came over, you know, in with the settlers in America, and they started. They knew what they were doing. They basically bought the land. They bought out the land under new names, and they're still the same family. They're still the bloodline families. I fully believe that this is real. I mean, I have known enough now in my 40 years of life to know that this is existing, and that the Rothschild bankers, who cares what their name is? You know what I mean? At this point, a lot of these names were made up, but back in the day, Pesor came from the paymaster of the French monarchy, of Marie Antoinette and King Louis. And I believe the whole story that is the son is Pesor, and he came with this Pesor guy. There's just so much evidence if you can find
it. A lot of our listeners might not have any idea what you're talking about, the Pesor family. I mean, we've gone over the Rothschild story, you know, several times and don't need to rehash all that and a lot of these other stories. But in terms of the Pesor, can you get into, you know, where they first came from, how they infiltrated America and all that sort of goodies?
And there's a lot of debate about this, but, you know, I've done my own research and it's my opinion from what I've read, which is literally hours and hours of finding stuff and going to people that grew up in the South, grew up in North Carolina and in Alabama and in Mississippi. I'm lucky to have a lot of people I know from all over the place. The truth is that the story that I have come to believe is that King Charles, after they were beheaded, the French royal family, that the son of Marie Antoinette and King Louis really was... he was 2 years old, and he was swapped out. He was in prison. He's a two-year-old baby. I think he was swapped out by the royal family of London, of England, and taken and put to get educated and stuff. And they swapped another kid in who was mute and deaf and died. And they acted like, you know, the heir to the throne and royal family after the French Revolution was dead. And I believe that he was raised by the English, protected by the English royal family and the Dutch royal family, and obviously anyone left over from France. But the people that survived, just like the Nazis survived, they went to South America, etc. I think that a lot of them settled in Virginia and North Carolina and that area. So when the Prince Louis now is 19 years old, he's taken to the king in England, and the king of England is now, remember, we're not even at the revolution yet. The people are just coming over. We're talking about Virginia Company. You kind of have to look it up. But so the king in England gets the Prince Louis, who changes his name to Daniel Pasor, because the guy that brings him there, his name, last name is Bayshor. So, or it was Pasor because he was the paymaster. So they switched the guy who was running the money for the French royal family after the war. And his last name was Pasor. They give the kid, his name now is Daniel Pasor. They send Daniel Pasor, who's really the would be king of France, over to a family called the Bodi family. They're also in the bloodlines, Bodie, in I believe North Carolina. And the king of England sent him with he had, I believe, a ship full of workers, and he got 800 acres of land, and he started there with the Virginia Company. And they got him up and running, and Daniel Pasor started buying up all the land and started building railroads. And along with the help from the Springs family, which was up in New Jersey and New York, who Springsteen, Springs family, they're of the Rothschild bloodline, and they came down to help him. And so now his name is Daniel Pasor. Well, he builds all the railroads. He gets all the steel companies. We're talking about, I have my list, but you can look it up. But I'm talking about they build everything. And at this time, they're working with Chris Columbus, and, you know, there's other people involved. But what was happening was the French monarchy began building America, starting with the railroads. Then starting with all the land on both sides of the railroads now are owned by the railroad company. Then they get it together with Carnegie Steel, and they start manufacturing the trains. And at this time, what are they doing? They're cutting down the forests. They're getting rid of a small bit. Again, they're getting rid of anyone that's surviving.
They're creating global warming, cutting down the forests.
Those bastards. Yes. And then so as it went on, so eventually Daniel Pasor dies, and he has two sons. One disappears. You can't find anything on him. But what I have to say about these people is that's not their real last name, you know? So they, every time that they intermarry and stuff, they take the other name, but really they're in this bloodline, this French monarchy bloodline that still to this day, they call it the Pasor bloodline, is considered among the 12 families in the, if you believe what I believe, in this bloodline family stronghold on this planet. The top are the Pasors, because apparently the bloodline, they believe, is the bloodline of Cain, of Satan and Eve. I know this is all over the place, but I wish I was more a thing. But basically, the entire royals and all of the bloodlines helped the child of Marie Antoinette and King Louis come to America and basically buy and control America behind the scenes. And this is because in the royal hierarchy, they're at the top. And right underneath them are the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, and then, you know, Astors, all the names, Onassis, you know, Lee. I mean, they're all over, but they're one cabal of 12 families, which the Pasors basically control. So what happened was they bought up everything. And then they had 99-year leases on all of the railroads. So they would lease them out, but the Pasor family still owns this land to this day. And over the years, it became the Pasor Family Trust. And basically, the Pasor Trust to this day owns basically everything we think is free. Where you think that there's a CEO and a board of directors, you scrape it back a little and you're going to find that, no, it's probably in this Pasor Trust, that still exists. It's been divided, but it's still being run by the Rothschild banks. and it's at the top, and it basically two things that it it owns the Fed through the railroad company, and it owns almost all of our grid, because they made a when they were building the railroads, they made it that only railroad companies could control the electricity. So our entire country is basically in this one trust that is hidden from the public. And I believe this is the trust that controls the Fed and the everything else.
It's not really even a country. It's more like they are the corporation of America is in the trust, because it's not even, if you really break things down, you know, it was America is sort of a corporation. Right. And that was, does that go back to 1871 is when?
Yeah, well, it starts at 1871 when, well, what happened was they think that the Civil War was about, you know, whatever it was about.
Slavery. Really,
yeah. Yeah. At the end of the day, the Civil War was about debt. You know, after the Civil War ended, America was a mess. So behind closed doors, the Congress, who still I feel like is the virus, they made a deal with the Rothschild Bankers of London to establish the Corporation of the United States of America in the District of Columbia. This is, anyone can look it up, it's the Act of 1871, and it was hidden under Civil Rights Acts of the same period. And basically, that day forward, America was owned by the Rothschild Bankers, which really are run by the Pacer Family Trust. So it's still the same 12 families, the royal, you know, anyone can look it up. We've seen it. We've all talked about it. But basically in 1871, our country was sold out by our government. And everything that's happened since has been, according to our original constitution, the real constitution of 1776, everything that's been going on is so corrupt and illegal. And the American, we the people, need to get educated, because everything that they've done, every war, every has been about money for them. And none of this money, like, there should be no famine. There should be no, they have plenty of money. Like, and so basically, we're at a place where it's been exposed, I think, to most people, definitely the Trump administration and the people at the top there. But so this Pacer Family Trust, with along with the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Carnegies and the Astors, also run the UN. You know, they also run, they finance the UN, the Rockefellers. They
let's not forget that the front of the UN is a, you know, a 45 handgun that the barrel's all twisted up to, because they want to eliminate firearms. It was Rockefeller gave the land. I think one of the Huxleys was one of the first, you know, integral in getting that involved. I forgot if it's Julian or Aldous Huxley. And then, and then, you know, they were all part of the British Eugenics Society, and one of them wrote Brave New World. I mean, and so, I mean, they were all part of the, you know, the Fabian socialism. And then you had George Orwell, whose real name was Eric Blair, who was, you know, not a soothsayer. He was part of these people and was exposing it. And I believe he died right after he wrote that too. So, I mean, it's just.
Well, look at Kubrick.
Yeah.
Him after Eyes Open Shut.
Now we got your
there's always going to be guys on the inside. Yeah, like you're saying, so these people, they're all am I still here?
Yeah, so you know, we're getting it. We're talking about all the good stuff now, and then they want to, you know, make our Zoom connection go down. Right as we start talking about who's running the world.
New York is having, this has been going on for days. It's been going on for days in New York. They're trying to knock us off. They don't want us to hear what's coming. But yeah, no, the UN is, that's my big thing, is evict the UN. The UN is the Rockefeller, Rothschild, Gates depopulation central, and nobody's really getting the truth. There's just too many of us for them to be happy.
And that's really how Ira Griffin woke up, was when he started realizing that the UN weren't, you know, the good guys, weren't, you know, people who are here to, you know, save you. And that's, you know, if it wasn't for him realizing that, then he wouldn't have wrote Creature from Jekyll Island, that wouldn't have woke John and I up. And, and so really it's just, you know, it's great to see, you know, the seeds of what one person really can do. And it does get depressing, you know, sometimes being out there in the weeds and the thick of things and being so far ahead of everybody on this stuff and see the mindless, you know, no offense, Hollywood crap or dribble that they, you know, want to, you know, get us to fight over.
No offense. I'm still trying to get it off me. Yeah.
No, it is. It is all absolutely nuts. But can you tell us anything more about like the Virginia Company or how America?
Sure. Yeah. I wish I had my notes. I don't have my notes. I wasn't sure where we were going. But I, so anyway, back to that. So what happened was, so Daniel Pastor died. He gives it to Louis Cass Pastor, who's his son. And then he has three children, three daughters, and there's no heirs. So anyway, they keep spreading out their holdings, which is now we're talking ExxonMobil, we're talking General Motors, we're talking, I mean, they own, this one family to this day still basically controls 300 of the S&P 500 companies. They still run so anyway, what happened was also that the Pastor family and then the Rothschilds and everyone under them also started, they're the only people that really own stock on the trading, you know, on the stock exchange. They own all the type A stock for their 300 companies. Their 300 companies run the world. And, you know, and then that I want to go back to the beginning, but we're running out of time. So I kind of want to get to a place where I want people to realize that this seems like old history, but it's not, because once the Corporation of District of Columbia got signed off on 1871 in the night before Christmas in the dark halls of Congress, from that day on, the American people have been paying into this trust, this big giant trust with all these people. And then you guys know, because the book Jekyll Island and everything, they decided that they were going to make one central bank, the Fed, and then under that the IRS, and then they own all the corporations. And then, you know, I just want to jump to, because a lot of people don't know about the seeding company and how DTCC
work. The last two
and things, how it's all connected back.
DTCC and Seed and Co. Because it's the next two things I wanted to bring up, so I'm glad you brought those up. So.
Yeah, no, because you got to go fast. Because I can start from the beginning of the French royal family, but I'm pretty concerned with what's going on right now, because I do believe, you know, people can throw around or whatever they want to say. Nassar, Jassar, Great Reset, this, that, and the other thing. I do believe that there's a coming, you know, coming upance for these people. That what they are is they're the greediest, most disgusting frauds. They have held back money that could be used for this planet, could be so amazing, but they keep creating crises and problems and then wars, and we throw all the money at it, and guess what? They just get paid more. I know what they're doing in New York City. It's the same people, and they have to be stopped. So when 99-year leases ended and all the money went back to the trust, this is from the railroads and stuff, who was in office? George H.W. Bush. It was 1993. And what happened was George H.W. Bush was, you know, he used to run a bank, obviously, one of these cabal banks in Houston.
And his father helped fund the Nazis at Brown Brothers Harriman.
I think he was much more than helping fund them, you know. That could be a whole nother show.
Yeah.
But so they transferred into this seeding company, which is basically another gigantic trust. But what happens is, also under the Fed, also involved with the IRS, they also now have seeding company, but they also start the DTCC, which is the only people that can trade on Wall Street stock market. Every trade on the stock market, every IPO has to go through the DTCC, which is owned by the same people. So every time, and they own all the type A stock. So anyone that's buying stock on Wall Street, they really don't own anything. This is all manufactured. All of these bonds and everything, I hear, were in a vault. A lot of them were in a vault underneath 66 Water Street. And then during Hurricane Sandy, all of the real stuff, all the real paper and everything, was moved to somewhere in Jersey City that doesn't even have an address. And,
well, Social Security Trust Fund is literally a cabinet, not even a big cabinet, full of IOUs in the Office of the Debt in West Virginia. And it's not even that big. Like, it's like the wall behind me. It's like one of the desks over there. It's like the size of that. And they're able to, and it's just an office desk drawer that has, you know, all the debt that is supposedly an asset, even though it's debt. And that's what, you know, the entire Social Security Ponzi scheme is based off. But with DTCC, it's sort of like you have this company over here who really controls all the stock, but then when the stock is traded, it's almost like your other people are given the rights to temporarily own it and trade right. it and graze right. on it, while they are the ones who then actually hold but the actual real title to it. Yeah.
Right. They put it into the seeding company trust. There is no real owner. Like people that are buying, not that they, we have to reset everything a different way. Now the globalist UN sickos, they want this different kind of reset, which is fake money, which is digital currency, which doesn't exist. Okay. We want, and I firmly believe that we have seized a ton of gold, especially in Switzerland and Italy. Not we, it's not just us. There's other countries involved. But for right now, I do believe that we are going back to the gold-based currency, which never should have gone away. That was a total con.
Then even the problem with that is, though, if you then break down who owns the gold, and then, you know, it was, you know, the CFR was, you know, basically, if you, you know, trace all that stuff back, it really goes, you know, a lot of this one world government stuff goes back to Cecil Rhodes of De Beers, and De Beers is the big gold right. miner and diamond miner. And
yeah, and they were funded by the Rothschilds, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, and then you go into like and the Rhodes
scholarship. A lot of this goes back to what we were talking about before, about the International Settlement Bank in Switzerland.
The BIS. Which is its own country, just like the Vatican. It's its own country, like the Vatican. And so I recently just read a book on the Bank of International Settlements. And, but yeah, I mean, getting back to even the gold, the problem is then, you know, when, you know, Cecil Rhodes died, he left his will to creating basically one world Anglo-American roundtable secret groups. That group was called the Royal Institute of Affairs in London. And then their American counterpart was the Council on Foreign Relations. And then, you know, backtrack to Joe Biden giving that one talk with a backdrop of the Council on Foreign Relations behind him, saying, you know, and that's when I went in there and said, you know, you've got, you know, I'm leaving here in 5 hours. And if you want that $1 billion, you better fire that prosecutor. And so they just throw it all in your face. And then, you know, the Rhodes Scholarship comes from Cecil Rhodes. You have, what's his name? Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. The guy that gave him his Rhodes Scholarship was Carol Quigley.
Rachel Maddow. Look at the other ones. Rachel Maddow, George Stephanopoulos, Pete Buttigieg, all Rhodes Scholars. They're part of the same group.
I thought Pete Buttigieg, he was initially the pick that I thought was going to be the one to emerge, because, you know, he's CIA, he's gay, and, you know, he's coming from Rhodes Scholarship. I thought that was way too many things. But, you know, the establishment panicked and had to all get behind and coalesce behind, you know, Biden, which, you know, it's just craziness. Because, I mean, he's the guy that really is. I mean, if you're going to go after Trump for stuff, I mean, the guy that's like 10,000 times more guilty of all this stuff is Joe Biden. So, I mean, just the tone deafness of this, it's just throwing it all in everybody's face. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting next 4 years if Biden wins, but they'll probably just replace him with Kamala Harris immediately.
Joe Biden's not the candidate.
Yeah, it's
Joe Biden's not the candidate. Yeah.
All right, so Johnson, what are we looking at right now?
No, this is a part of my presentation that I did in Acapulco, actually. And here you can see the whole structure of what they built, like with the help of the IMF and the Bank of International Settlements, of course. And so they created the board called the Financial Stability Board. Actually, Canadian Goldman Sachs ran it. Before that, it was actually another Goldman Sachs called Mario Draghi that found the Financial Stability Forum, which then became the Financial Stability Board. But the Financial Stability Board controls and sets all the rules for the international accounting, the international securities, the international banking, and the international insurance legislation around the world. And they actually were the ones that came out with the bail-in legislation back in 2013. What is really interesting is Canada is very connected and is like a lapdog of the FSB, because as soon as the FSB puts out the policy, we implemented bail-in legislation in our budget in 2013. Secondly, after I don't know if you remember the Panama Papers that came out, Me and Josh did a huge expose on that. But what we found out was that there was actually the Panama Papers is a false flag to then create, they're not really a false flag, but they were a way to force the public to then accept something called base erosion and profit shifting, which is a new policy that is supposed to stop, you know, money laundering worldwide. But it's not really for that. It's for tax evaders that are, and it's for tax cooperation between these 20 big countries, so they could share tax returns with everyone. So the peasants are getting caught. Meanwhile, you know, I got from the big accounting companies, I got letters that was stating, you know, like, we got all the solutions for BEPS and all this stuff. And so, of course, like, they put out these like things that, oh yeah, it's like so bad, you know, we got to implement these new control measures. You know, there's over 100 signatories, excluding the United States, which is interesting, to this base erosion and profit shifting plan. But it's a part of this whole ecosystem, as I said, like, as you know, the Financial Stability Board has become. And now, of course, like, they put out new legislation trying to create central bank digital currencies, the G30 here, and Kenneth Rogoff, which wrote a book called The Curse of Cash in 2016. He was a former head of the IMF, like, not the head of IMF, but chief economist at the IMF. He actually wrote a book on the policy. And one of the major chapters there was, of course, you know, in a pandemic, we should, you know, we should stop cash from circulating. So right. Nobody use it. So they have all these things planned out. Like, actually, in my book called Canada, the Greatest Economy in the World? I did have a full chapter on what I call the world government that they built, which is the United Nations and all subsidiaries. Like, for example, IATA, which is the International Aviation and Transportation Agency, which is run by the UN. And they actually put out a letter. I get letters from all these crazy people because I sign up to the newsletters, and they put out... Yeah, they put all the, yeah, you could actually sign up. There was they send out where they were talking about that we need immunity passports and vaccination passports. So they put that out. And then, of course, the Financial Stability Board put out a working group on bailouts just recently, too big to fail working group. Remember that, Tim, that, you know, I was a part of looking at, like, there was a lot of information there. They talk about the shadow banking system now, which is a whole nother thing. Just recently, you had a shadow bank called GE Capital, which is General Electric. All of them are going into banking, right? Right. Because that's the end game of all this. Like, nobody is going to do anything real anymore. But they were actually just bought up by Goldman Sachs. So Goldman Sachs owns GE Financial now. So you can see, like, how all these guys are, you know, moving forth and back in the industry. And of course, there's a couple of very interesting, I want to read from a book here and get you guys' opinion on this, because this is from a book called Sovereign Debt Crisis and Negotiations in Brazil and Mexico, 1884 to 1914. But there's an interesting little piece in here, and it says, at the other extreme of the market, Rothschilds underwrote the debt of Brazil, the only Latin American country that did not join the wave of defaults. Many banks disappeared as their clients suspended payments. Only Rothschilds and Barings survived the 1820s with default-free brands. Rothschilds and Barings developed two different ways of doing business. The founder of the London house, Nathan Rothschild, built strong links with other banks and governments across Europe. The network included his siblings, who engaged in banking in Paris, Vienna, and Naples. The Rothschilds from the continent provided their British relative with valuable inside information that largely explained the rise as global players. The London Rothschilds specialized in arbitrage and government finance as European powers waged war in the 1810s. Barings operated in a less personalist way. It underwrote bonds of countries that became major destinations for foreign investments, such as the United States, Canada, and later in the 19th century, Argentina. Rothschilds, in contrast, relied on its connection to the traditional European monarchies It became the bank of empires such as the Austro-Hungarian Empire, or Persian, the Russian Empire, and Brazil, the only European monarchy in the New World. Seniority was one of the keystones of the sovereign debt market. The banks that appeared after 1820s were secondary underwriting banks that underwrote the bonds of the newcomers and bad borrowers such as Mexico. So basically, they are talking about how they're prime dealers. You know, it's what a prime dealer is, basically. Right, like, yeah.
They haven't changed. That's the funny thing about the Rothschild banking dynasty. You know, they really haven't changed. And there's a bigger picture here, I think, that we're all they paid for every side of every war, and they're paying right now for it in America, in the whole world. They're at the end, but the truth is that this is a did you lose me?
Okay. Just for a brief second, but John, can you get it off off screen share so we can get back to Mel?
Yeah, because the truth is that this is about the New World Order. I don't care what anyone like thinks. Just do your own research. This is about, and when I say New World Order, I mean their one global government. Listen, all you have to do, everyone that watches this or hears, all you have to do is go on the UN, go on the IMF, go on the World Health Organization, go on Agenda 2030. Go on the Rockefeller 10-year plan that came out in 2008. Go on anything that you want and dig a little deeper, and you're going to find all the same talking points, all the same goals. It's all going towards us ceding our sovereignty, Canada ceding their sovereignty, every country that's free ceding their sovereignty to this group of 12 people that believe that we are peasants and that we need them. What's going on?
Is there another family too? Because I've heard there's like 13 bloodlines. There are.
I could tell you the whole bloodlines. I don't have my thing on me, but there are. They are. Let me just pull it up real quick.
Is the other one? Is that the one where they're saying it's like Mary Magdalene? And is that the one that they're counting like as a 13th? Or I'm not an expert.
No. Oh, I can tell. That's a whole different game. But yeah,
that's a whole other game. So.
13th is the 13th bloodline, according to, you know, everything I know so far in life, is the Pesor family bloodline. But it's you know, they think that it's they're here, one second, let me just tell you the family name so that we'll put that out there in one second. Okay,
I know there was who wrote the book on it, like Fritz Springmeier is the one who wrote
Springmeier. Well, the reason that's relevant is because about 2 years ago.
Was it the FBI tweeted out about it or something like weird like that?
No, what happened was about 2 years ago, if you're like me, and like he is, I follow all the websites for the government.
Oh, it was the CIA. The CIA released it. Yeah.
Right. A year and a half ago. But very oddly enough, they also found it in the Abbottabad compound when they raided and killed, or might have killed,
the fake Bin Laden raid.
Ben was obsessed with the Illuminati, but also don't forget that they're not just they're all over the world. They're not just Anglo-Saxon, like, you know. Hold on one sec, they're about bloodlines.
I typed in bloodlines to Illuminati, and then one of the first things I see is actually cia.gov/library. It's part of the, and you're right, and actually says Abbottabad compound. I guess that's why they have it in there.
Right.
So
that came out last year, and that's when most people started digging. I can't find the list.
Well, here, I got another thing that I want to talk about, which is, of course, if you're talking about the UN, actually the UN has a recruitment organization, which is called JCI. I actually been a part of that organization for about 3 years. 6 years I was a member, until I actually found out that it was a UN, push to actually grab all the young talent and then, you know, mold them into these like little UN minions. You know, the JCI, if you go and look at jci.org or something like that, Junior Chamber International has like the actual weapon shield of the UN within it, right. But it's I remember there was a guy there that was high up, and I started to look into a lot of stuff, And he was
it's definitely not JCI.org, because that's the Journal of Clinical Investigation.
.cc or something. But anyways,
they have plenty of them. This is how
there's chapters in thousands. There's thousands of chapters around the world.
And now, I did find those bloodlines too. So it's the Astor family, the Bundy family, Collins, DuPont, Fremont, Kennedy, Onassis. Lee, L.I., Onassis, Reynolds, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, Van Dyne. So you got the Russell Trust, which, I believe that's like Skull and Bones is actually owned by the Russell Trust, I believe.
Actually,
and then, DuPont is actually – the reason marijuana is illegal in America is because of the DuPont family. It was the DuPont family owned all the cotton, so the quick version of it. And then they were, related to – who was it? Henry J. Anslinger of the FBI, and he was like, hey, we need to, this new hemp product is going to kill, because what had happened is, hemp could grow four times as much per acre, but they didn't have the hemp gin, they had a cotton gin. Magically, they invent the hemp gin, and then that same year, they make marijuana illegal, because the DuPont family was related to the head of the FBI, and they said marijuana was the most violence-causing drug known to man, and that white women were getting raped by black guys, so you can literally thank the DuPont family for that one, and then we could have a world today where, we could have biodegradable just about everything, and toilet paper could be made out of hemp, and the first car in America was made out of hemp. There's a picture of Henry Ford hitting it with an axe and bouncing off.
Well, it's the same with oil and electrical
transportation as well. Yeah. The first Model T was run off of hemp seed oil. And so all these people, we could be, all the paper could be, all the ropes, and it's, good for the environment. And so, but instead we've got to, the powers that be own the, own the carbon exchanges, and the Rothschilds own the carbon exchanges.
Oh, so actually talking about this is the name of Al Gore's carbon trading company. It's called Blood and Gore.
Well, that's his hedge fund. So his partner was named David Blood. So literally Al Gore's hedge fund at one point.
Blood and Gore, he
changed his name, but at one point it was called Blood and Gore.
Yeah.
You can't even make that up.
It's crazy because I think my question's messed up. It's in New York. Something's wrong here. But it's crazy because that's interesting, the Blood and Gore, because I'm working on a story coming up about, the adrenochrome situation and the international shipping and all of that's going on right now.
Well, this, what the processor in the Google phones is called.
I do. And it's disgusting.
Yeah. So,
Adreno. Yeah. This is what he said about the group that he found through the UN. It's that all you have to do is dig in. They don't not tell you. They tell you symbolism is their downfall, because that's part of what they believe. They believe that, okay, so back to the UN real quick. I don't know if you guys know about the Lucifer Trust at the UN. Okay. Assignment is to look up. The Lucifer Trust, the Lucis Trust, it is the spiritual foundation of the UN. And it was written by this woman, Alice Bailey, who is a Hillary Clinton. And she created the 10 rules for the New World Order, basically, but she calls it something else. Well, the Lucis Trust is at the UN, and it's also the meditation room at the UN is called the Lucis Trust Meditation Room. These people, when I get to the UN and everything, I know that this is where it goes to the wrong, people don't get it. But they believe the UN is basically a spiritual concept funded by the Rothschild, Pesor, Rockefeller, all the families. And it is based on occult Luciferian satanic.
Yes.
So that will tell you where they're headed, because this is what COVID was about, in my opinion.
Yeah. Here is, I guess you're not finding it. This was the first thing that came up on my computer. So a little bit different than Tim, since I'm in a different country. But this is the Lucius Trust right here.
Right. Well, right now Google is all messed up, but the Lucis Trust is basically Luciferian. What does it say? It used to be called the Lucifer Trust, and
on Wikipedia, there's all sorts of references to Lucifer in this. Of course, they keep it very short because they don't want to expose everything they're doing. But
yeah, it says there an esoteric reflection on the pandemic is one of their writings here. There's tons of
symbolism. You guys have no idea. This goes so deep and ugly. They hate God. They're Luciferians. All these people are. This whole thing is connected to Epstein. Everything that we're talking about.
Epstein was the financial advisor for the Clintons and is the one who set up the Clinton Foundation. Then
for the Clintons, for the Bronfmans, for the Rothschilds. He brought down Bear Stearns. He you know what the problem is? These bloodline families that run the UN and want the New World Order and have one of the families to have a seat in Kazakhstan. It goes a lot farther. My biggest thing is the research on the UN Foundation and where it comes from. But they basically, if you look at the 10, we can do a whole show on it. If you look at the 10 tenets that are in the UN right now, they are anti-God, anti-humanity, one world order. You know, I mean, it is very scary what the UN spiritually, you know, yeah. Dig under. What's the UN really about? Well, guess what? It's Total the control. Same principles that are, it's Agenda 201, Agenda 2030.
Yeah. Actually, back to Agenda 21, there is a lady called Gro Harlem Brundtland, which is the former prime minister of Norway. She wrote Our Common Future, which was a part of a...
It's not about money.
Yeah, no. So back to Agenda 21, it was actually written by a lady called Gro Harlem Brundtland, which is now sitting on the Elders Council. She was the former prime minister of Norway for many years. She was the head of the World Health Organization at one time. But she also wrote Our Common Future, which became Agenda 21. Together with Maurice Strong, I moved to another province in the middle of nowhere in Canada, and that's where he's from Manitoba,
that really
Canada.
Narrows thing, that really narrows things down. Town up north. That really narrows middle, somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Canada.
It's really funny how well connected are, but actually the regions are extremely, extremely involved in the UN. We got so many people. I confronted a former finance minister of Norway. He met with the former Canadian finance minister for the 200 jubilee of the Norwegian independence at the Human Rights Museum here in town. So I confronted them and asked them about what they think about fractional reserve banking and all this. And they were just laughing at me. Unfortunately, we lost Melanie there, Melody. So that's I hope she's coming back soon.
Yeah, I turned her video off, but then it looks like, because you know, the internet was cutting in and out. It, yeah, you know, as you know, I mean, who knows, we're
starting. Well, it was at Lucius Trust where they put that's the boundary.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're fine talking about all the other stuff, but as soon as you start getting into the Lucius Trust, then you've
but did you did you actually out. See Did you actually see like the website? It's insane. Like if you go to Lucy's Trust.org, it's actually Arcane School, Alice Bailey Books, World Goodwill Triangles. They talk about all this symbolism. And then the World Goodwill, it says World Goodwill at the UN. And like, this is insane. I don't know if you look too much into this site, but it's actually their own site that they're promoting. You know, the Lucius Trust, and probably some symbol, some guys that are into symbolism could decode, you know, the triangle on the website. But it's all about the power of triangles. And, you know, like what's on top of the all-seeing eye at the Federal Reserve note, right? It's all-seeing eye triangle on a triangle. So it's very interesting, Tim. Oh, there she is back.
Yeah, we're getting too close to the power yeah. source. But, you know, it might actually work better.
You lost me. We are. This isn't a joke. This has been happening. This is real. This is real. They're listening to us. I'm hitting the bone. The bone of the story is that the UN and the World Health Organization and Bill Gates and Rockefeller and Rothschild and all these people, they don't think we should be here. Okay? They don't. This is really crazy. They don't want to lose their money. They don't want to lose their power, and they're about to. And that's where we find ourselves. This is not Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. This is we the people of the free world versus the people that have all the money and all the power. And that's where we are. It's like the French Revolution, except for this time, you know, it's politically correct. It's crazy.
This time they're not even giving us cake to eat. No.
No, no.
Actually, a book that you should read is, it's called the Fiat Paper Money, the History and Evolution of Our Currency. And it actually goes all the way back to the Roman Empire, but mostly from the Chinese empires that actually started printing paper currency.
That's where our money, like this, Did you guys know about the
And the Jewish, then the Jewish bankers actually took that over to Europe and of course, replicated that because they were merchants that traveled around the world.
Yeah, the Rothschilds aren't really Jewish.
That's what you go with, like, Kazarians.
These bankers aren't really Jewish.
Could you get
Canaanites.
You had mentioned Kazakhstan, and only recently that's come on my radar. I haven't really researched it at all, but what does the Khazarians come from Kazakhstan?
They built it there. That's their new world order. They've already built it. I mean, people just have to look. It's open source. It's just hard to find. And if you don't know, you don't know. But yeah, basically, I've always said this. I'm an Italian Jew, so I come from a lot of stuff. And what I have to say is that the Soros, Rothschild, by the way, Soros, if when I say that, is I'm also saying Rockefeller, Rothschild, Bezos. Soros is at the top of their list. He's been running the Rothschild situation for quite a while. But,
Soros, hopefully. You're anti-Semitic, even though you're Jewish.
Right.
So.
Well, even though I'm great. No, here's what they did. We'll go back real quick. I mean, we can break down any of this. I'll be on any time you want if people don't hate me after today. But so here's the thing. The Rothschilds, Soros, all of them, Bloomberg, they're not, you put them down, they're not anti, they are Luciferian Canaanites. These people have used the Jewish religion, which is really just the five books of Moses from beginning to end every year for the last 6,000 years. They are a different tribe. There were several tribes. This is one tribe, the Canaanites. And this includes these family bloodlines. They think that they're superior. They're the ones who put out the chosen one nonsense and all that. They're the ones. They have used Jews since before the First World War as their shield. And they created the whole anti-Semitism concept, just like the Muslim Brotherhood created Islamophobia. It is a, you're racist if you say one thing about these people. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of these people were very involved in World War II in the financing on both sides. They sacrificed a lot of them. You can call them Jews when they were part of sacrificing the Jews. They are Canaanites. They believe that they are special bloodlines. This is what the bloodlines Illuminati is about. This is why the CIA dropped it. It's because it doesn't matter what we believe. Their religion that they believe is that Eve had sex with both the serpent, i.e. Satan, and Adam. And the good son from God was Abel. And the son from the serpent was Cain. As we know, Cain committed the first murder, killing his brother.
Women always trying to go after the bad boys. I think Satan was just too much of a...
I know, what a dummy. But she ruined everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, they always do. Not a big Me Too girl. They always ruin everything. Just kidding. I have my own too, it's just not theirs. Anyway, but so back to that. So what I'm saying is that they still do this. That's what Epstein Temple is. That's what the underneath the Rothschild winery in Northern California is. That's what, you know, all these islands have. These
and Epstein's
are,
and Epstein's backdrop.
Like,
I recently saw, like, wasn't like the same backdrop as like Ellen? Like, basically, they have like a very similar. Ellen's backdrop was basically, Epstein's Island.
It's also the good group. It's all these people. They believe in. First of all, there's a whole nother level of this that's disgusting, but coming soon. But on the other level, they believe that their bloodlines, Rothschild, like they're all involved. It's all the same bloodlines. They care about blood. That's why blood and gore makes me laugh, or the fact that adrenochrome is their favorite commodity. It's because the truth is that they believe, just like that movie Eyes Wide Shut, that they are Luciferian Canaanite Satanists, and they are. And you know, people can think what they want. The Epstein files are going to come out. Everything's going to come out.
Wasn't it like one of the Rothmans or something with Nexium, but like one of the, I forgot, one of those major.
Yeah, they got snagged. She finally got 6 years.
But didn't they own like the house where Eyes Wide Shut, or the mansion where Eyes Wide Shut was filmed?
Yeah,
was like one of the people who recently got taken down.
Rothschilds. Yeah, no, the Rothschilds own it, and it's right near Bohemian Grove. And Stanley Kubrick was trying to tell people what was going on. He had gotten to a point, he first tried to tell us about the mental health industry during Clockwork Orange, and nobody got it. Now, he was an insider, but he knew, like a lot of them. Mel Gibson knows, you know, he's not one of them, but he knows. And it's just, it's taken over everything, but it's not new. These are the same people. And, you know, it's funny, he was reading that passage about the debt slavery from the 1800s that the Rothschilds did. But, you know, we have to remember these aren't Jews. They're not Christians. They're not Catholics. They're not
They're using the religions. And actually, I mean, I've always thought that the Vatican was even above, you know, like the Jews, you know, but not that it's the Jews, because it's not the Jews. It's people who are using the Jewish religion
Jews. Right. Well, what happened at the Vatican, and we can always get into that because I think a lot is going to come out about what happened at the Vatican. But also in the 1800s, the Vatican.
Well, I was raised Catholic and Italian, and then I distanced myself from that immediately as soon as I possibly could. When I got kicked out of my house at 17. So, you know, here with you being part Jewish and with me being, you know, Italian and Catholic, you know, so we're bashing on, you know, the people that, you know, so, I mean, I don't know how anyone could say I'm being like anti-Semitic or anti-Catholic when I was raised. Yeah, raised
that's
Catholic.
That's the brilliance. So look at the Muslim Brotherhood hijacked Islam. This is all a mind fuck. It's been going on. These families, there's 12 of them, but they intermarry. They have lots of last names, but you know them all, basically. And, you know, they own the Gettys. I'm doing a big piece on the Gettys on a different show next week, and I've been researching, and it's very disturbing. You know, and it's that they're all, like you were talking about hemp, that also included Hearst, which is also connected to these families.
Those are like the publishing families, like Hearst and Getty are all, you know, all the, you know.
Yeah, you got the Hearst castle is close to where Ed lives.
And doesn't even in the Winnipeg, doesn't the Pacer family, Josh was telling me, like, runs like the Winnipeg Free Press or like your guys' big.
No, that's the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds runs the.
It's them. It's the Pacer Trust, because that's the Rothschilds took it over. That's what happened, that they had only daughters. The Pacer family had only daughters. So the father put it in the hands of this guy, Leroy Springs. And Leroy Springs is an offshoot of the Rothschilds, whose name was changed because Springsteen, and I'll leave it right there. But Leroy Springs was running the Pacer Family Trust, which became the Lewis Cass Pacer Trust. Which literally all you have to do is Google what's in the Lewis Cass Pacer Trust. I'm telling you, it's 400 of the biggest companies in the world, and they own them all.
Well, DuckDuckGo or Brave browser. Let's not just try to not use Google, but you know, it is such a, you know, it's a ubiquitous thing to say, you know, just Google something. But you know, don't be evil. You know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, don't be evil. Right. I was. Oh, we were with Zach Voorhees, and I was like, what about the lady from China? Oh, that's another thing. You guys, we brought it up before. So I was doing research last week. I had to go over and look at the Lucis Trust to make sure it was real, and it is. It really is. The UN's tenets are based on Luciferian, that like the same thing as the Georgia Guidestones, if you know about that. It's like the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about making a, as I go to make my way to Jekyll Island, trying to check out the Georgia Guidestones.
Oh, you should do it. Do it. Yeah. Send some pictures. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That was built by the UN, the second guy to put the most money into the UN, Ted Turner, the creator of all is CIA TV, CNN.
He's also one of the biggest landowners in America. But, you know, you've given us, you know, we definitely want to respect your time, and you've given us, you know, so much, you know, amazing stuff to chew on, and for our, you know, viewers to you know, go out and check out for themselves, you know, because it gets very complicated and confusing, which they want it confusing. And people would ask me, you know, Tim, aren't you scared of, you know, saying this sort of stuff? And, you know, I'm more scared if I don't say this sort of stuff. But almost at a metaphysical level, they want people like you and I and John out there saying this, because they almost get off on the fact that they people know this information and get it out, but then people will do nothing about it or criticize us. And they literally, it's almost like they would respect people like us even more. But, you know, the people who are trying to implement all this, you know, tyranny, you know, they're going to be the first ones to go, just like, you know, Hitler's brown shirts.
Better believe it. Well, the CFR, you know, all these people we were told were, it's like Woody Allen, the opposite. All these people we were told were good are truly not good. They're evil and they don't care about us. Anything, I'm sure, CFR, Atlantic Council, Trilateral Commission, the UN, the IMF, the World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation, again, Rothschild, Rockefeller, All of them, Carnegie Foundation, Ford Foundation, they're all involved in this plan to move the One World Order to Kazakhstan. I'll tell you all about that at some other time.
Yeah, let's do that on another show because that's only something I recently started hearing people talk about. I've done almost no research on that at all.
That's one of the reasons the One Belt, One Road goes straight through Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is actually on the boundary of where the Uyghur Muslims are getting put in internment camps, by the way.
When I hear Kazakhstan, all I think about, and this is not to make like a joke of this, but
Ulaanbaatar,
like, you know, number two exporter of potassium, you know.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about that is I believe Bharat, the man, is really deep into this cult life.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, it was kind of like it was a psyop, like a Hollywood CIA, there's many of them, I can tell you about them, psyop to make us not look at Kazakhstan like a joke. If you guys see what they're building there, you won't believe it. Talk about Uranium One. You got to check out Kazakhstan.
I'll be honest, I haven't checked it out. And it sucks, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen had ended up being this, you know, part of all this. Because back when I was in college, it was, you know, when Ali G and all this stuff.
I know, me too.
Was big time, and I owned the whole DVD set of all of it, and still have one of my friends that wears like the little, you know, yellow outfit and stuff, and goes out. And it's funny because this guy is like an accountant that, you know, very nerdy looking Harry Potter guy, but he dresses up in like the, you know, mankini and all this other stuff. Anyways, I won't say his name.
No, I feel the same way. Honestly, when I really got into this was because I looked at the real flight logs from Epstein Island, and I almost cried. So many of my friends were there. And the issue with the Epstein Island flight logs is there are certain gates that if you went there, for child abuse reasons, including horrible stuff, this Luciferian, really, really sick stuff. And to look at those flight logs and see people not only that I worked for or worked with, but who I thought were good friends that were doing that, even though then I looked back, this is like how I met Sam. I talked to Sam, even though I looked back, I thought, oh my God, well, that makes sense now, you know? So it's those who scream the loudest, but yeah, Bharat, I don't know if we'll find out, but I know that the Kazakhstan movie, I believe now after everything I've learned, was to make us think Kazakhstan was a joke and never look at it. Because if you look at what's going on there, something big, and it's a lot of money being invested there by all these same people, including the CFR, World Health Organization. They're all the same. All you do is have to put their names next to each other.
Well, it's just to look where the One Belt, One Road is going straight through Kazakhstan to Europe, right? So it's actually getting built. Like if you go and look at a map, for example, you'll see that, you know, where it crosses into Kazakhstan, you'll actually see the Chinese are actually, you know, removing all the Uyghur Muslims there and putting them in German camp and have a five-year
control
there. Yeah.
For what? Slavery? No.
Yeah.
I mean, this is so, you guys won't, listen, this is not between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. This is, Joe Biden will cede all our country and all of our freedom to the UN. They're already planning it. They're already, what do you think getting rid of the police is about? It's not about getting rid of law and order. It's about putting the UN in instead of our police force. He's in bed with the UN. Look at how much money he's taking from Ukraine and China. And the last thing, and then I'll let you guys just digest some of this. The last thing is we all brought up what? The UN. Well, guess what? If you look at the UN right now, who's running all of the committees, they're all Chinese citizens. I'm not joking. Go on to the UN.
At one point, like Saudi Arabia was on like the human rights.
Well, Saudis are gone.
Yeah, they're ideologically aligned. It makes sense.
China is, look, I'm telling you guys, look up the Lucis Trust at the UN. First, that's a real eye-opener. You can't believe what you're reading. And then number two, look at who's running all the committees. You brought up one, I'm talking energy, I'm talking agriculture, I'm talking technology, I'm talking copyrights. All these UN committees are all Chinese nationals.
World Health Organization, basically run
Chinese
by China.
Chinese nationals. I mean,
Joe Biden run by China. Hillary Clinton had, you know, her email server was also having copies going to China.
Listen, I have a good thought, though. I think that there's two factions in China, like there are here. And I think that part of me thinks Xi is on flipped. I don't know. But I know that there's the Li family, which is the bloodline family of China. But there's also the elders of China, which are above them and really don't get involved. But I have a feeling we're coming to a head with China, too. So we'll see what happens. That's why we really can't say anything. But all I know is that it's all connected to a diabolical 12 bloodline cabal goal to make us one world order under the UN, run out of Kazakhstan by these exact people, the same exact people. And some of them are our age. I want to go fist fight them.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these pictures from Kazakhstan over here, and they've got, you know, like the all-seeing pyramid on here that looks, you know, a lot like what's on the dollar. And it's even, you know, it lines up with it exactly. But I have not, I've gone down lots and lots of rabbit holes. I've not gone down this rabbit hole yet. So
But I'm telling you, all the money roads lead to Switzerland in terms of where all everything is. That is owed to us and all the free people of the world who've been totally strangled by this. There's no depopulation need. There's just a need to spread the money out so everyone can live, you know, the way that they're supposed to.
Getting transhumanism. So it's not about trans rights. It's about, you know, eventually destroying humanity. And with this new, you know, coronavirus vaccine, it's going to change your DNA.
It's like, It's like you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's like you said before. If you look on any of these sites, like he got sucked into like something that seemed like a cool group. But if you just keep digging into their motto and deeper and deeper and keep reading, it turns out you keep reading and you're like, wait a minute, what are they really saying here? Because they don't lie. They're telling us what they want. They want a sustainable for who? Like sustainable for who? These people, then you get into their Luciferian thing and the adrenochrome. I mean, honestly, they have all the money and all the power, and they run the media, and they're running the EU. That's
we haven't even gotten into like geoengineering and making sustainable for whatever, you know.
I mean, there's so many
tentacles of this that you could go down, which could be, you know, overwhelming. You know, the people that are just getting into this, but you know, John and I have been into this sort of stuff for, you know, well over a decade, and it's just. You know, because it'll drive you nuts. But at this point, I'm sort of done looking for political solutions because
too,
I thought that getting Trump elected was important to basically give us time to sort of prepare. But unfortunately, you know, he was hit in 9 million different directions and has constantly been on the defense because, you know, everyone's against him right now. But it doesn't mean that he had the answers. He was just there as the person to be able to defeat Hillary. But at the end of the day,
he was asked to run. That's not a lie. That's not a hoax. That's not a conspiracy theory. He was asked to run by some really good people. And this is not new. So I would not worry. I do firmly believe God wins, especially this time. I do believe that these people will be exposed within the next 3 to maybe month.
Well, and then I do want to point out this is going to be released, you know, probably.
This is what they're doing.
Because I want to have some content when I'm on the road. But, you know, yeah, today is, you know, 33 days to the election. And then today's the day that Trump gets announced of having coronavirus. So, you know, 33 being one of the most occultic numbers in, you know, in their symbolism. And now, you know, 33 days before the election and Trump gets coronavirus. I mean, like, it's almost like right on cue.
33rd degree.
No, right on cue. Didn't mean that. No pun intended. Didn't even mean that. But it's just, you know, craziness. Yeah.
I know. Thank you so much, guys. Super fun.
Yep. No, it's been great. Where can people find you? Or do you want people to find you?
I have a website. It's called mannequinmanhattan.com, but it's being reworked. And I have...
When you move out of Manhattan? Are you planning on...
Now I'm stuck here because it's part of my shtick. My family lives in Florida, but I'm here because I want to watch it go down. I'm seriously watching what's going on. I know what they're doing. They want to turn Manhattan into a smart city with Bill Gates and Eric Schmidt. I did a show on this a long time ago, and I'm positive that's what's going on here.
People have no idea what's coming with 5G and smart cities. I've done deep research. Actually, my background is telecommunications. So
we got to do a show on it then, because I'm telling you, they tried to do it in Toronto, right? Or was it Vancouver?
Yeah, Toronto. Toronto.
Well, guess what? I'm pretty sure Cuomo and our very corrupt, disgusting politicians of New York have already ceded to Eric Schmidt and Bill Gates and the World Health Organization and the UN. And
well, right Canada now, definitely has.
That's what they're doing in New York. They're trying to get everyone out, sink the markets, get all the small businesses out, have Amazon and their people come in and rebuild the city. I see things going up every night. Yeah, we have to talk about it because I keep seeing new stuff being put above the streetlights. And then somebody told me that they were putting all these sensors underneath Times Square. Remember, everything was cleared out, but that there's sensors all over. And now they're asking us to download this New York COVID thing where we don't even have COVID anymore.
Yeah, they just launched it. They just launched it in Canada, actually, in Manitoba as of yesterday as well.
And here. Yeah. It was launched here today. Don't think it's not all connected to the same people. It is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us. And
thank you, guys.
Check Modi. Thank you, John. And I'll talk to you guys
Have
later.
Have fun. Bye, guys.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Thank you. God wins.